Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, we got time. Let's bless the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Don't stop. Jesus said he loves it when we bless him this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some of y'all hadn't made no noise this morning. Come on, don't stop. Keep praising him this morning. I watch you. You were sitting there looking. I don't know if I want to. Hey, is God worth of praise this morning? Did he do something for you today? Did he wake you up this morning? Did he get you started this morning? While you were brushing your teeth, did he give you another fresh breath of fresh air? Hallelujah. 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 I'm sorry that I'm so loud so early in the morning, but something got a hold of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not something, someone. His name is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Y'all could be seated if you can. If you can. I hope to give you another opportunity to stand before it's all over with today. You know, God is good, isn't he? Is he good or is he not? Yes, he is. Mercy. You know what? I'm excited to be here this morning. Partially because I know I'm not here by the strength of my own effort. That is to say, if it was up to me, I'd be home asleep right now. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning. Bing! And I tried to go back to sleep. I went to bed at 11:30, 12 o'clock. And technically, I'm supposed to be tired. But like I said a minute ago, something got a hold of me. Jesus got a hold of me. The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Y'all believe this morning?
Yes.
Amen. I was going to start out with a story, and I'm going to tell the story because some of y'all need to laugh. And I heard this story a few days ago, actually. And it's probably a joke that got passed around, but that's how I heard it. It's a story of a couple who liked to have coffee the first thing in the morning. When they woke up, they got to have coffee, and they were discussing who's going to make it. Husband and wife. The husband said to the wife, honey, you make great coffee, so get up early and make the coffee. She said, no, you get up before me, so you go and make the coffee. You always get up first. And he said, no, honey. I really like it when you make the coffee. And besides, you're the cook, so you make the coffee. Now, don't get too women's lib on me, okay? It's just a joke. So she said emphatically, no, you go make the coffee. This went on for a few minutes, and then she got spiritual with him and said, you know, it's in the Bible, so you go and make the coffee. It's in the Bible. And he was quite surprised at her reply. And he said, so where does it say that in the Bible? I've never seen that. She said, it's in the New Testament. It says, he brews. Y'all should be dying laughing. That was pretty good. First time I heard it, I fell out. Hebrews. So that story is about relationship in a way. I want to tell you another story about relationship. Many of you know that about
11 and something months, years ago, I got married to Jerutha, who just sang. That's my wife. Thank God. I mean that. So, I found myself widowed. Is that what you call it? No, widower. That's what it is. And I heard from the Lord. He said to go get a wife. I got something for you to do. So I was trying to decide on, like, how do I go get a wife? And, so my brother, my sister-in-law, and a few other people said, why don't you take Jerutha out? And I was like, she probably wouldn't want to go out with me. I'm short. I'm this. I'm that. You know how insecure men are. And I was right there with all of them. And I was like, And I kept hemming and hawing, and finally I called her up. And a little side story is, I was playing for the Oregon Symphony with Gospel Christmas, and she was singing in the choir. And several months before that, I was producing a record, and I needed some background singers. And I have a studio, and I needed some mics, and I had some mics, but I needed one more. And I had asked her and two other ladies to sing back up on this project. So I used the occasion to connect with her to ask her if she would come over and check out my mic. And she agreed to come over and check out my microphone, because I was going to buy one, and I was trying to decide which one to buy, but I wanted the one that would sound best with her voice. So she came over, and for safety, she brought her grandson with her. That's not true. She just happened to bring him with her. But it sounds good, you know. So anyway, she came, and while we were, it took 5, 10, 15 minutes to audition the mic, and then it was like, okay. So I just said, hey, do you date? I just asked her straight out. And she said, well, what'd you say, honey? Oh, yeah, she said, you mean D-A-T-E? And I said, yeah, date, like as on a date with a guy like me. So she said, well, and then we had a few parting words, and she left, and it looked like she would go out with me. And then several weeks later, we went out on a date with her family, and then went on another date, and then we got to talking, and we went on a real date. It was just me and her. And then we got to talking some more, and then what turned to be a 2-hour dinner was a 4.5-hour dinner. And then we went out again, it was another 4 or 5 hour dinner, and it just kept getting longer and longer and gooder and gooder. And finally I said, Lord, you're gonna have to stop me. If you don't, then I'm gonna take it that you shouldn't do that, by the way. But I told the Lord, if you don't stop me, I'm going ahead with giving her my heart. And he said, go ahead. Now, just as background, it don't have nothing to do with my message, but I don't want anybody to get led astray. I asked my mother and my father, who knew Jerutha. I asked my sister and my brother, and I had seven of them, and I asked all of them. And then I asked a few other people, what do you think about me going out with Jerutha? It's before I ever asked her for a date. And they all said, yeah, we know her. She's a great woman. I think she'd be a great match for you. And last night we were at a birthday party of a friend, and somebody told us, a pastor friend of ours said, you know what, you guys are made for each other. God, and she knew Jerutha way back when. She's known my family and me for many years. And so it's something that happened. We have a good relationship. So Jerutha would have said, back to my message, that I was being direct in my approach to establishing a relationship with her. This morning, I want to talk to you about how we approach God. Amen? How we approach God. How we think about how we come to God. You know, when you go to pray, how do you establish communication with God? Do you just, hey God, I'm here this morning. And some people go, Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God. And then some people pray, and other people say, you know, God, I'm broke down and tired, and they just come like they are. Mm-hmm. But I want to say, I want to use the word approach. How do we approach God? So we're going to look at a couple of things. Can you turn, pull the scripture up, Hebrews 4:12? I want you to stand and read this with me. We're going to all read it together at the same time. This is the New King James Version. We'll all read it, all of the, it's only about six verses. Here we go. Ready? For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden, you ready? And there is no creature hidden from this sight, but all things are naked and open to our eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's read that one again. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have opened the door by the blood of the Lamb that we get to come into your presence. And we ask today, as we are in your presence, that we would be changed from the image that we are to the image that you are. Christ in us, the hope of glory. God, we pray for a supernatural deposit today. Break down all the things in our hearts that are not from you, God. Help us to get a better understanding of Jesus the Christ. Help us to get to know you better today. Help us to approach you with faith, desire, and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The verse we just read is one of my favorite verses. I pray it many times. You know, we have prayer meeting at 9:30 back in those, past those doors there. And some of you slip up and come in a little early. And if you come in there, you might catch on fire. Because we be having church up in there. So I like to pray that verse, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy in our time of need. Now, that verse says, verse 16, it says, and you can put it up on the screen, let us, those are the first words, let us. We can allow ourselves to come. You know what? Have you ever gone to some event and they have ropes that block where you can go? And it might be an exhibit for art or something, and you want to go, but the ropes don't let you go any closer than so far. And some of you, I know I've been down to the Museum of Modern Art and other museums and stuff, and I want to, you know, get right up on the painting, let my breath show up on the, you know, I really want to look at it close, but they don't want you doing that because it'll mess it up. So we're not allowed. But in this scripture it says, let us. We're allowed. Let us therefore come boldly. And the boldly is, I heard somebody say one time, man, they were coming up to God with their fist in his face. You know, God, I'm coming up here, blah, blah, blah. And they were just, and I thought, man, that's not the boldly I think they're talking about here. The boldly means to come without hindrance because you have a right to come. So you shouldn't be afraid. I'm going to tell on my daughter for a minute. When she was going to elementary school, we changed schools and we just moved up here from Texas. And I took her to the school, and the day before school started, and we went and met, went all around. You know how you get your kids acclimated to the new school. And so the first day of school, she got out the car and I was like, okay, go ahead, you're going up to school. And she walked around, she took a couple steps, then looked back. Go ahead. She walked in. Eventually, she got to the door, and then somebody else came in front of her, and she let them go in. And I thought, are you going to be the guard, the dog guard or what? Open the door and go on in. And she just kept hanging back. The next day is the same thing. And the next day, and finally I said, look, honey, you belong in this school. I know the principal personally because I met him. He's looking out for you personally. Go in there like you own the school. It took her a few more years to get it. But the point I'm making, the point I'm making is that's how some of us come to God. We come to God like we don't have a right. When God invites us to come boldly, but we don't, because what? We have sin in our life. We've done things. If you don't have a checkered past, I need to meet you after church. Because everybody has some dirt. Otherwise, we wouldn't need Jesus. Amen. I know I have some. I got my robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my sin from me. So when God looks at me and when God looks at you, he's looking at the blood of Jesus that's covering all your mess. If you ask for forgiveness. If you didn't ask, God can't talk to you because your sin is ever before him. But if you ask for forgiveness, the blood of Jesus comes and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And now you have a right to come boldly to the throne of grace. When should you come to the throne of grace? Can anybody tell me? All times. That's a great answer. I wasn't thinking about that. Sometimes we think about coming to the throne of grace when we have trouble, right? How many of you got saved in the midst of trouble? Something really bad happened and you came to God. That's a good enough reason for me. Yes, sirree, Bob. When you have trouble, you know where to go. But when things are going good, where should you go? Come boldly to the throne of grace. I want to talk about a couple of approaches to God. I was studying the Bible a few weeks ago. I was going over the accounts of the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I was looking at the story of Jesus' life and then up until he went to the cross, when he died, how he rose again. I was just reading through those stories. And some of it was in preparation for this, and I was looking in Luke, the 23rd chapter and 39th verse. I want to look at, this is one man's approach. If you'll put that up, it says, there you go, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other one answered, rebuking him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So that story, in case you don't know, is simply, it really happened, number one. There were three crosses. And there was actually a fourth person who was going to be on that cross. And the Jews said, hey, it's the Passover time. It's customary that they free somebody. They had a chance to free Jesus, but they didn't take it. They said, let Barabbas go. He's a known criminal and a thief. And they said, give him a pass, let him go. We want to hang Jesus instead. So you got two crosses, one on each side. Jesus is in the middle. And he's hanging up there. And the one thief said to Jesus, hey, if you're the Christ, like everybody said, like you've been saying, help us out. Get us off the cross. Well, take yourself. And then while you're doing that, take me too. Help me out. And the other thief had a different, now his approach is what I'm looking for here. There's two approaches. There's the one thief who had arrogance. He was unrepentant and rebellious. Some of us behave like that when we come to God. We're arrogant, self-absorbed, unrepentant, rebellious. There's a lot more words I could find to describe our behavior. And then there's the thief, the second one, who approached Jesus with a repentant heart. He said, man, in fact, he looked over the other guy. He said, you and I deserve to be killed, but he doesn't. How could you even do that? And the interesting thing is that Jesus looks back at him because of, the Bible says God looks at the heart. Not on the outside, but he looks at the inside. He knows exactly what's going on with us. And he looked at the inside of that man. And Jesus forgave him. And he said he knows he's guilty. He deserves the punishment he's getting, yet he asks for mercy. Which one of those two people are you today? I don't want you to answer it, but I'm going to give you a chance to answer it. Which one are you? Do you approach God with a repentant heart, or do you come to God? It was not my fault. David in the Psalms, one of my favorite Psalms, he talks about that. He uses the phrase, my sin is ever before me. And I don't know about you, but I found out when I came to God that the first thing I realized is that I am unworthy. And some people don't get that. They come to God like, I deserve to be forgiven. And in some sense you do, but you shouldn't have that kind of attitude. You should be like the second thief. I'm coming with a repentant heart. I'm sorry for the stuff I did wrong. Please have mercy on me, because that's all he can get is mercy. He can't be justified because he did the deed. So some of us, I know I was found guilty. We've all been found guilty. So how do we come to God? With a repentant, God, forgive me for my guilt. Forgive me for the stuff that I did. I was watching a movie the other day, and the father just refused to repent for the pain he caused his son. Until finally, he accused him of doing something, and the son didn't do it, and then he got beat up and almost was killed. And while he was in the hospital, the father repented. And I was glad to see that he repented, because he was coming to a place of realizing his sin is ever before him. And then he can get forgiveness. I'll give you another example. Nicodemus, good old Nicodemus. In John 3:1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Verse 16, for God, and everybody knows this one, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now if you go down a little bit further in John the 7th chapter in the 45th verse, Nicodemus' name comes up again. And it says, then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Pharisees knew the word. They knew the law. They knew the written law. They were very good at knowing it. They were smart. They had to be in order to be a Pharisee. If you couldn't read and write, you couldn't be a Pharisee. If you couldn't understand what was going on, you didn't have the qualifications. Nicodemus was that guy. He had the qualifications. He was a thinking man, and he was smart. I don't mean smart in terms of he just had intellectual ability. That's what I mean. How many of you in this room today are thinkers? You ruminate and think a long time about stuff. And there's others of us that we couldn't take 5 minutes to think about nothing. I'm somewhere in between. When I'm on the road driving, I'm thinking. But then when I'm playing the piano, I'm not thinking, I'm just playing. So, but the thinking people, and I've heard this said, you think too much. Anybody heard that before? My brother used to say this, study long, study wrong. But that was when we were playing cards. So. But I want you to know that those who have the gift of thinking, God loves you. And that's why he put Nicodemus in here. He's a thinking man. And so he came to Jesus not during the day, but at night. At night. So I'm going to just summarize real quick. In John 19, it says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, that's kind of where Nicodemus was, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came, took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus, here he is again, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came. So here you have Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night. He don't want to come to him during the day when all the Pharisees can see him. He wants to do it under cloak and dagger, you know. Hey, Jesus, come over here, man. I'm going to hang out with you for a minute. And he asked him some questions, and that's when Jesus said, and this is the first time we hear about it, you must be born again. Jesus is talking to a thinking man. He's not talking to somebody who doesn't understand the power of what that words mean. But he's talking to him right where he lives. And one of the things about God that I've learned is that he knows everything about all of us individually. You are special to God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He knows everything about you. He knows how you were born. He knows the circumstances of what happened to you the first 3 years of your life when you don't know nothing. If somebody abused you or did something to you, you have no clue. But maybe that's why you walk around with certain things happening to you. Because of stuff that, but God knows all of that. He knows all the good things. He knows the family you came in. He knows how much hair you had and how much hair you still have. He knows what you look like when you were younger. Man, if we look at them pictures when we were 25 and had an afro, had some hair and a beard, I thought I was cool. But God knows, he knows everything about you. And with all of that, he tailor makes his communication to you so you understand. What he would say to me might not work for you. What he would say to this person over here might not work for you, but God knows what you need to hear. I remember when I was seeking God, it was 2 weeks that I was walking around and I felt like God was knocking on the back of my head, you know, real slow. You can't hear that. You know, but it was light. Like somebody tapping you on the shoulder, and you know, hey, who is this? Somebody back there? And I kept feeling like God was back there, like really just hovering over me, trying to get my attention, and he was. And so I had to go to the airport early in the morning, and I took some asthma medicine the night before, and it messed up my sleep. And because of the medicine, it made my hands shake. I couldn't drive. And I was still under the effects in the morning when it was time to drive to the airport. And so the Holy Spirit helped me out. He had the biggest traffic jam in New York City. I could only drive like 2 miles an hour. So with my little shaky, drugged up self, I could handle that. And that's how I went. And so by the time the traffic was over, I got my party to the airport. It was all good. The stuff wore off, I was good, I could drive home. But on the way home, I kept feeling like God is trying to get me. And then I was in a group, and I told you all this story before, but we had Bible study every morning at 8:30. And of course, it was around 7:45 by the time I'm coming back from the airport. So I didn't feel like going to Bible study, so I devised a plan. Oh, we need some bread. So I went by the bakery, got a couple loaves of bread. And then I said, oh yeah, I need a plug for my room. I need a 3-plug socket for a 1-plug thing. So I went by the hardware store. This is all before, and I'm looking at the clock and it's 8:45. Yeah, I'm gonna miss Bible study. So I came in around 10:15, 10:20. We should have been done. And I walked in the back door. I lived in a house with 5 other guys. We rehearsed and practiced and did ministry there. We had Bible study every day. So I'm thinking, I just got out of Bible study today. I'm all good. I go in to open the back door, come in, and I hear one of the guys go, "In Jesus' name, amen." And I was like, "Yeah, it's over." Then he said, "Turn to Acts 2 and 4. And the story was on getting filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the message that day. And guess what happened to me? God tailor-made it to me. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because God hooked me up. One of the reasons why I did not want to be filled with the Holy Ghost is because everybody I saw, many people I should say, they acted a little strange when they got under the power of the Holy Ghost. They'd be walking down the street and they go, and they start shaking and quaking. I can't do it like them. There's some people, some of our sisters and brothers in here know what I'm talking about. You got the Holy Ghost quake, you know, the quickening. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And I said, man, and people in New York are always walking down the street talking to themselves anyway. People think you're crazy. So I was like, no, I don't want to be that guy walking down the street speaking in a foreign language. Don't nobody know what you're talking about. No, I'm too cool for that. Nope, nope. And then, you know, I knew people that would roll under the pew, under the power of God, and get up and run across pews and do all kinds. I was like, man, I don't really want to do none of that. That's not my, I'm not feeling it. So when we had the lesson, I prayed and I asked the Lord to do what he was going to do, and he did. But because of my laid-back personality, or whatever you want to call my individual stuff, God talked to me right where I was at. He made me go upstairs and lay on my bed, not lay straight out, but just with my feet hanging over the side, just lay back. And while I'm laying back, I'm chilling. And the Holy Spirit's talking to me, and I'm just sitting there chilling. Now, one of our guys in our group, he was a runner. He used to run with Olympic runners. And we had three floors in that house. And for 3 hours, while I was on the bed chilling, he was running up and down all the stairs, running each room like this. Go in each room, bless it, run around in the room, then go to the next room, run around. And he was acting like a man. I could never do that. And what I'm saying is, but that's how God talked to him. And there was different ones of us. Everything we needed, God did for us in his own way, because God knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen. So when we approach God, that's what I'm talking about, we can approach him with the idea that he knows exactly what we need. Can you say amen? Amen. If you have that assurance this morning, give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen. I'll give you one more example. In Luke 8:42, the woman who had the issue of blood, we would call her today a hemophiliac. She kept bleeding all the time. It says, but as he went, speaking of Jesus, the multitudes thronged around him. Verse 43, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. Just a little border. King James uses the term the hem of his garment, but it's really the wings. There's a scripture, I believe in Isaiah, it says he has healing in his wings. They're not talking about the wings like you see on TV on the cherubs and stuff. They're talking about the wings of his garment, the little part of it that hangs down. So in a way, it's kind of like wings, but that's what she grabbed a hold of. She grabbed a hold of that knowing this. And it says, immediately, her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? And then everybody denied it. Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? Are you kidding me? That would have been Peter. You know that's him. You gotta be kidding. But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Verse 47, now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, that means the commotion that went on after she got healed, it was enough for her attention, for attention to be focused on her. So now She was not hidden. It says she came trembling. Uh-oh, I did something wrong. That's kind of the way she came. And falling down before Jesus, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Can you feel that? Can you see that? And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." Because if everybody was touching him, power should have went out, right? They were all feeling and touching Jesus because the throngs were around him, just, you know. But only one person got healed, because when she touched him, she approached God with faith. With faith. So how do you come to God? Do you come to him like Nicodemus with an intellectual mind, sneaking around the back doors trying to figure it out? Do you come to Jesus with faith? Do you come to Jesus with repentance like the thief on the cross? Didn't deserve it, but he came anyway. You see what I'm saying? And the first scripture I read was, come boldly to the throne of grace. That's what we're trying to get to. How we come to God. God is not a big cop that he would pronounce you guilty for all the things you did. I've told this story before. It's really liberating for me. Not so much to tell it, but to remember how it was. I was 17 years old, didn't have a driver's license, didn't have a permit, no hopes of having a driver's license, no hopes of having a permit. In New York City, you can't even drive till you're 18. You can get a permit at 17, but some grown-up has to be in the car with you. So now, I snuck and got my brother's keys, this 1966 Mustang, and my mother sent me and my younger brother to the store to buy pizza. Walking. But I decided, I got the keys to the car, let me get in here, let's drive up. My brother said, "Boy, I don't think we should do that." I said, "Come on, man, I've been doing it. It's okay, get in the car, come on." So we got in the car, fired it up. It was a stick shift, and I was known to drive 60 miles an hour down the street. It's like that one right out there, you know. And I pulled out. And guess who was standing right there half a block up the street? Mr. Policeman is hanging out, talking to the grocery store owner, who happened to know my family, and my father was the new reverend in the block. And so, guess what happened? Pull me over, and one of the headlights was out. So, but it was in daytime, but you know, anyway, the cop pulled me over. "Can I see your driver's license and registration?" So I reached over in faith, looking in the glove box, like as if there was going to be a license. And I stuck my hand in there, and I was like, "Well, there's no license, obviously. But I'm just killing time." My brother, he got smart. He said, "I told you not to drive," and he was gone. He got out the car and went home. Went home, left me hanging. "No, you ain't got to go. It's okay." "No, I ain't getting in trouble. No, I'm out." And he left. So the cop asked me again, "Where's your, you got your license and registration?" "No, I have the registration. I found it. I gave it to him." He goes, "Where's your license?" I don't have a license." "You have a permit?" No. And so the guy at the store, the proprietor of the store, he looked over at the cop and he said, "Hey, whatever his name was, man, I know that kid. His father is a preacher around the corner. He's a good kid. He didn't steal that car. It was my brother's car." But nonetheless, so the guy had already started writing in his book when the proprietor talked to him. So he gave me a ticket for not having a license and driving with a broken light. So I nicely turned the car around and parked it and went and walked to get pizza. So when the ticket came, I did not want to be found guilty, so I took the ticket and threw it away before my parents saw it. So a few months later, the ticket comes back up again, but now it's a warrant for my arrest. I'm going to be a fugitive from justice. And my father got a hold of it this time. The side to the story is that it was in June when the second ticket came and I had to go before the judge. It was in March of that previous March, my father came home one day from a trip and said, hey, we're moving from New York to Seattle. And so these last few months were us kind of wrapping up our 30-some years of living in New York, all our family and everything. We're going to a foreign land, as it were, living in Seattle. So anyway, now I'm before the judge. And we walk in the courtroom. My father takes me in there. He takes off from work. We go in there, and they call some people up, and the judge goes, book him. You know, he's not a happy guy, and things don't look too good for me. And so the judge calls my case up. Greenidge Paul, you know, not the judge, the bailiff or whatever. And he said, whatever. And my father was standing up in the back, and some of you know my dad, so he's about 6'1". Big voice, big guy, and he's standing up, and he's got his arm around me, and he goes, my name is Reverend Greenidge, and the judge goes, like, so? He said, this is my son, and before he could get any further, the judge said, well, we're going to have to put him on probation because, and he was being nice. He was giving me a break. He wasn't going to throw the book at me. So my father says, he will not be on probation because this is my son and he's going with me. We're moving to Seattle, Washington, and you're not giving him a record. You're not giving him nothing. He told the judge which way to go. And I was standing there, and my father's where I'm little, and I'm like, Daddy, are you losing your mind? You talk to the judge like he's a stepchild. And he's, well, we're going to have to give him. No, you're not. I'm taking him with me. Okay, Reverend Greenidge, whatever you say. Boom, case dismissed. I was like, holy cow. That's God getting busy on my behalf. Amen. What I'm saying is, my father's boldness in talking to the judge is kind of the same way Jesus does for us. When the devil comes to accuse us, we are guilty. I was guilty. I deserve to pay. But God in his mercy allowed my father to take my place and stand in for me and actually represent the love of the Father. That's what it meant to me. And when I thought about it as a 35-year-old, I said, man, my father had some serious stuff that he would tell the judge. Because I remember he told the judge, no, you're not taking him. But see, that's what Jesus did for us when he went to the cross. He told the devil, no, you can't have Paul no more. You can't have you. You can't have, he's forgiven. And some of you walk around with burdens on you that God wants to get off of you. And that's why I'm telling you, how you approach God determines what happens. If you approach him in faith, you get to be delivered. If you approach him with repentance, you get to get mercy. If you approach him with thanksgiving, the Bible says, enter his courts with praise. How many of us come to God and we just start demanding, God, I need this and I need that. My kids, when they got smart, they used to come, hey, Dad, that's a nice sweater you're wearing. Man, can I have $10 to go do so-and-so? Well, you know, I thought about it, but I got that compliment, and before I know it, $20 came out. And the Bible says, if your earthly fathers would give you good gifts, how much more would my heavenly Father give good gifts to those whom he loves? So when you come boldly to the throne of grace, you can expect, when you come right, you can expect to receive mercy and grace in your time of need. We're going to be done. The worship team was going to come, but you guys just hang out. We only have a few more minutes. I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Let me say it another way. You believe what you hear. You keep hearing something, whatever it is, eventually you'll believe it. If you keep hearing that you're a dummy, that you're stupid, that you're, you know, you're whatever, not good, how many of us can tell that story? If you keep hearing you're beautiful and smart, even if you're not, you'll believe it, right? Come on, talk to me now. So that didn't start with the devil or the world. That started with God. He said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you believe what you hear, see, and take into your heart. Listen to these scriptures. The first one I read was Hebrews 4:16. Let us boldly come to the throne of grace. In fact, I want you to close your eyes right now and let this word wash over you. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Psalm 65:1 says, praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. That would mean that we are Zion and that we are telling God we're waiting to praise him. And to you, it's how we approach God. And to you, the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, meaning God, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them, Jesus. Verse 4, blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God, of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples, they also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with flowers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are also covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. And that's just a picture of what God has for us, his children, those of us who love him. He's got blessing upon blessing in every area of your life. God intends to bless you. That's a good reason for you to come boldly to the throne of grace. If you went to the fountain and there was no water coming out, you wouldn't go. If you went to a poor person to ask them for a lot of money that you know they didn't have, you wouldn't go. But God, who is rich in mercy, the Bible says, he's rich in mercy. That means he's unquenchable. He has all the mercy you need. He has all the cattle on the thousand hills. That would be money and things, whatever it is you need. God has all the healing in his wings. God has all the grace that you need. God is inexhaustible. That's the God we get to come to today. So I want you to, as you bow your heads again, I want you to think about what it is that you need to come to God with, and I want you to ask him. Come boldly to the throne of grace this morning. Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving. We've been entering your courts with praise. We have declared this is your day. And Lord, we worshiped and adored you this morning. We praise you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that your Holy Spirit brings truth and brings light to us, Lord, and opens the eyes of our understanding that we get to hear your voice this morning, God. And as you have spoken today, Lord, we ask that you will confirm your word with signs following in the lives of each of us today that need need to hear from you. Birth a new thing in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll birth forgiveness in somebody, that you'll birth repentance in someone else, that you'll birth understanding in somebody else, that you'll birth healing in somebody else. God, that you'll birth purpose for some people who don't know why they're here. God, that you would answer those questions that people have had that need to hear from you. God, that you'll meet every need in this house according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith. And so today, as we've come before you, Lord, we ask that you'll meet every need. We ask that you'll meet every need, God. You have everything we need. And we come to you with thanksgiving in preparation for what you would do. And Lord, we thank you in advance for receiving, for giving us what we need. Thank you for ministering to our broken parts. Thank you for shining your love on us. Thank you for the light of your word. Let it become bright to us, Lord. Help us to hear your voice as we walk from this place today, God. I pray for a declaration of freedom to follow you and to hear your voice supernaturally in the name of Jesus. There's somebody today that God is speaking to you in such a way that when you go to read your Bible tonight and tomorrow and in the days to come, he's going to reveal himself powerfully to you in the name of Jesus. Speaking prophetically, there's somebody today, and there may be several of you, there's somebody today that's getting a revelation of Christ right now in the name of Jesus. We take authority over every spirit that's not like God. Satan, I rebuke you right now. I rebuke doubt and fear and unbelief. You can't hang out in here today in the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus against you and what you would do. And Father, we thank you that we are have peace, love, and a sound mind. Someone needs a sound mind today. You will not go to and fro by everything that confuses you. You will have clarity in the name of Jesus. You'll have clarity to understand what God is saying and doing in your life. You'll have direction in the name of Jesus. And for those who are bound by sin and some kind of stuff, I command those shackles to be broken in the name of Jesus. I pray for deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. We break every yoke and every bondage in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for freedom today. If you've been delivered today, you raise your hand, open your mouth, and begin to thank God. Lift him up and praise him this morning. If we've spoken to you today and God is saying something to you, bless him for it. Thank him right now. In the name of Jesus, we have a few minutes. It's okay. Tell God how much you love him. Tell him thank you for what he's doing in your life. Come on, don't be afraid. Thank you, God, for what you're doing today. Thank you for healing somebody today. Thank you for deliverance in this house. Thank you for setting somebody free. Thank you for breaking bonds and chains today. In the name of Jesus, thank you for beginning something new in our lives today, God. So we come up from this altar, as it were, looking to hear your voice as we move forward in our life. The Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we declare your freedom right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you for everything that you're doing in this house today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.